Well, alongside the political implications of these changes to HECS and the subsidies to help students doing university placements, the big question is, will it actually make a difference to the students themselves? I'd love to hear some thoughts from you. I know it's something that many people are passionate about, and not just about their own debt levels, but their children's debt levels as well. Is this the change we needed to see to the HECS system, or are there some bigger issues that need addressing? If you're a student, or maybe your kids are studying, I want to know what you'd change to the HECS system, and also whether you'd think that this payment for university placements will encourage more students to enter these much-needed professions. The text line's open now, 0418 226 576. Molly in St. Lucia says, "Hi Andy, changes to HECS is a good start, but the government needs to make university education free, as Labor has done for TAFE. An educated society is a happy and productive society. Look at the Scandinavian countries," she says. Rob from Yarrandery says, "This change is a drop in the ocean for helping young people. We've failed them in so many areas." Also this one, "HECS and the masters required to teach when Liberal governments at the time decided the teachers needed to up their game needs to be addressed. Then desperation for teachers said not needed. That phenomenal expense added on to the certification needs, certainly for some industries, is also a sort of massive burden," says this text. Ridiculous, they say. 0418 226 576 to join the conversation. Well, joining me is Bruce Chapman. He's an emeritus professor at the ANU College of Business and Economics and the founder of the HECS scheme. Also, Annie Butler is the Federal Secretary of the Nursing and Midwifery Association. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
I'll start with you, Bruce. Does this change to the way HECS is indexed make sense? And I'm speaking specifically in the economic sense.
The most important point to understand about indexation is that it has no effect in the short run on anybody, because people will pay off their HECS as a proportion of their income. So this will affect the stock of the debt, the amount of debt that people have. And what it actually does is it's going to not change how much people pay in any given time period, but it'll make the time period of repayment slightly shorter. My guess for the average HECS debtor, it will take about 6 months away from the time that they'll be paying HECS. So it's not significant financially, nor is it very expensive for the budget. I mean, it'll cost about $2 billion out of a total HECS debt of stock, which is about $80 billion. And most of the money would have been repaid at the end of the period of people paying their HECS. So the implications financially for both the government and the students is not very important.
So if there is no economic basis for it, why has the government done it now?
I think that, I don't know whether I call it economic or not economic, people are kind of, there's a lot of anxiety about this. Indexation is very straightforward for people who know a lot about economics and they spend their whole life doing it like I do. But it's not so easy if you don't really know what it's all about. And then we had 20 years with almost no inflation. So suddenly last year, and suddenly is the right word, because on the 30th of June last year, all the HECS debts, which have been indexed to price inflation for 35 years, but for the last 20, nothing much was going on with price inflation. Then it was 7%. And so some political parties made a big deal of this. And I think it was quite scary for people who didn't really know what was going on. So I think that while the finances are not a big deal here, I think the politics are very, very savvy, because taking away anxiety about things that don't understand, that's an important role for government, and that's what they've done.
Annie Butler, I want to come to you. When it comes to the financial burden nurses and midwives face placements and whatnot, do you get a sense as to whether this HECS indexation change will make much of a difference to people once they're actually working?
Well, our reading of it is that they will get some relief. I mean, I know what Bruce has just said, but if I understand, and if it's shortening the time period, if it means that you have 6 months, it's 6 months shorter for you to pay, that would bring some relief. I mean, and I do think that More needs to be done, but we do think this is a good start. We particularly think that the clinical PRAC payment is going to be very helpful for our current students and future students. Again, there's a lot of work we need to be doing in this space, but it's a really great start.
I'll come to more about the PRACs, particularly in your industry, in just a moment. But Bruce, I have a slightly technical question here. The point has been made that people, because people make repayments to HECS through their taxes, they're making payments with every paycheck. But that amount of money that's set aside doesn't count as a reduction to their HECS debt until tax time, after which the HECS debt has already been indexed. So is the government effectively ignoring whatever payments people might have made during the year and indexing the entire amount? It's sort of tantamount to what the Herald's called a kind of accounting error, whether it's deliberate or not.
I wouldn't put it like that. I think, first of all, it's retrospective. So it's going to operate for the adjustments from last year. So this is not an accounting trick or even just an accounting nuance. It means that the people who had an adjustment to their HECS debt of 7% last June, it'll now fall to an adjustment of about 3.5% because it's gone to wages. So that's not insignificant. And I don't think it's, I wouldn't think about it at all cynically. I think it's an attempt by a government trying to assuage the fears of people. I do accept that the 6 months shorter period of paying is important. It's not hugely important in the whole scheme of things, but I think the politics of this is very productive, because people are afraid about things they don't understand, and this will as it operates into the future, mean we'll never have a situation again where price inflation is greater than wage inflation, and so the HECS adjustment is greater than what's going on with wages. That's now being stopped. That's why I think it's pretty good.
Of course, the bigger cost is outside of indexation. That's the cost of the courses themselves, which did go up a few years ago, particularly in the humanities. Was that justified, do you think, in your opinion?
I'm usually very considered about commenting on public policy, but I think in the area that I understand the best, which is higher education financing, what happened in 2020 was extremely bad policy. The government said that they wanted to influence people's choices away from humanities and towards the STEM courses. They doubled the prices of humanities. This is basically unfair and unreasonable. The humanities graduates and some other graduates had their prices increased very, very substantially. But the people haven't changed their mind. HECS will protect them. But what it means is that they won't change from humanities. I mean, if you always wanted to do philosophy, or you always cared about nursing, or you always loved animals, then you'll do philosophy courses and nursing courses and vet science courses. These changes at the margin won't change behaviour, but they can introduce into the system levels of unfairness, which I think are unprecedented with the HECS system. And what happened there back in 2020, it was never going to achieve what the government alleged it would achieve. All the economists I know, including many I work with, we looked at this very closely and predicted there'd be no behavioural change. It would not work. All it would do would be to put unfair burdens on relatively low-income graduates. I hope that this can be changed eventually.
It's 23 minutes past four. You're listening to RN Drive. Emeritus Professor Bruce Chapman, the founder of the HECS system, and Annie Butler, the Federal Secretary of the Nursing and Midwifery Association, are here. We're discussing all the dynamics, if you like, to the changes to HECS and the way HECS is indexed, and also the subsidies to help students doing university placements. I'd love to hear from you and some lived experience on this. 0418 226576 is the text line. There's this one. Certainly a good start for HECS debt. My son completed an arts degree. He's earning less than $80,000 per year. He physically cried when he saw his HECS debt increase. It affects his credit rating for a home loan, etc. We live in regional Queensland and I'm a single mother, so my son's had to relocate to move to Brisbane to study. I had to support him for rent. I would like to see university become more affordable for those who have to relocate from regional and rural Queensland, says this text. Yeah, spot on and a good point to make. Thank you for that. 0418 226 576. Annie, let's talk about this payment that the government will be giving to students studying to be teachers, nurses, midwives and social workers. What difference will it make to students studying these degrees? I mean, when you hear stories like that one, I'm not sure that was referring to an arts degree, but in some of these key essential worker roles, this might mean a fair bit, I would imagine.
Yes, I'll step into that question if that's okay.
Please.
We have been asking the government, not just this government, previous governments, for some sort of support for clinical placements for some time. And so we think this is a really terrific start, because what our students face is that many of them have to work part-time, of course, as many students in many courses do. But because they have to do their mandatory placements, which are really critically important for their learning through their courses and completion of their courses, and they have to do those in blocks. They're often 2-week, 4-week, 6, even 8-week blocks. Two things. It's really hard, first of all, to find an employer who understands that you have to be released for those periods of time. So a lot of our students get stuck in casual, insecure positions and are often can come back to find that they don't have even a casual job anymore. Then while they're on those placements, they have to go without income. Particularly when we're trying to, address our rural workforce shortages as well, and we want to really encourage our students to go out there to have really positive experiences, but when they're too stressed, they've got to find accommodation, they've got to have travel allowances, even meals, they've got to find the money from somewhere. So this is very welcome relief and a great start, we think. We'll be very interested to see how it works, and we're very pleased that Minister Clare has invited us to be part of that discussion of how the mechanism will work and how they'll apply the means testing. So, and what we've heard from students is that that's the thing that's been really crushing them to the point where they just can't afford to complete their courses.
Do you agree, Bruce? I mean, is there a chance that these payments will actually encourage more people to study these degrees, nursing, teaching, midwifery, social work?
In general, I agree completely. The big hole in income support for university students was the lack of help for placements. And I think that's been there as an issue. It's become more important over time as costs have gone up. And many people actually have to travel. They have to leave home to go to or leave where they come from. So there's travel. They often have to stay in hotels. And there will be people who, Annie said, will lose their jobs as a result. I don't think it's going to mean that there'll be a lot more people who are interested in doing these topics, because there's huge interest in doing them anyway. But what it's going to do is to take away the anxiety, and also it's going to increase the retention rates. There'll be some people who have to go to placements who just basically can't afford it. They can be quite long duration, very expensive, and I think that what this will do is help the completion in nursing, in teaching, perhaps pharmacy and other areas, and that's why it's so good and productive. I don't think there's anybody who knows the higher education financing system well, who has not thought this was a necessary step for quite a long time.
We'll have to leave it there. Bruce Chapman is an emeritus professor at in the ANU College of Business and Economics. Annie Butler is the Federal Secretary of the Nursing and Midwifery Association. I do appreciate your time, both of you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.